The Nanny Diaries, a new novel by Emma McLaughlin and Nicola Krauss, purports to give an insider's view on the rituals of Upper East Side child rearing. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says this novel reads like the real poop.
Due to a snafu, I never received my review copy of The Nanny Diaries, the new fictional exposé of child-rearing practices of the filthy rich who live in cavernous splendor on Manhattan's Upper East Side. That's when I learned firsthand just how hot this book is. Not only was the quaint little neighborhood bookstore all cleaned out, but the nearby chain superstore had only one copy left in stock, which I snatched up with glee. Now this is Washington, where Tom Clancy thrillers and stolid political memoirs by McNeil Lair pundits are the big bestsellers. But I guess dirt has a universal appeal, and this tell-all tale of the dirt under the Elmo rugs in upper-crust New York nurseries bears the stamp of vengeful authenticity. The Nanny Diaries was co-written by two former New York nannies, Emma McLaughlin and Nicola Krauss. As you'd expect, there are plenty of outrageous revelations here about Manhattan socialites whose wretched excess is offset by their emotional stinginess towards their own children. What's surprising about The Nanny Diaries, however, is how detailed and astute it is in its depiction of work, probably the most undertreated subject in fiction. The Nanny Diaries is the story Jane Eyre might have told had she sat down and written an account of the everyday horrors and humiliations of her job, instead of getting distracted by her class-climbing romance with Mr. Rochester and by that troublesome madwoman in the attic. The novel's heroine, simply called Nanny, is a student at NYU. Her family is rich in cultural capital. They're teachers and artsy types, but poor in cash, so Nanny needs to work her way through college by caring for the cosseted offspring of New York nobility. As Nanny tells us, it's easy for her to land these jobs. I am white, I speak French, my parents are college educated, I have no visible piercings, and have been to Lincoln Center in the last 2 months. I'm hired. When the novel opens, Nanny has just started working for Mrs. X, who, like her predecessors, is glossy, anorectic, and intent on establishing her motherhood creds by loading Nanny up with an obsessive list of pint-sized dietary rules, like lunch sandwiches must be cut in quarters and have no crusts, sandwiches must be made facing east, and no additives, no skins of any kind, no American food. The exes are basically absentee parents. She's always off getting manicures and being immersed in sensory deprivation tanks. He's busy being a captain of industry and having affairs. So Nanny becomes the prime caretaker for the ex's 4-year-old son, Grayer, who, despite the biological odds, is sweet and funny. The genuinely touching relationship between Nanny and Grayer is destined for doom, because as Nanny says, echoing the wisdom of Mary Poppins, to do this job well is to lose it. The crucial element in a good satire is specificity, and The Nanny Diaries tosses around designer labels and Upper East Side landmarks of consumption like a true traitorous insider. We hear about Grayer's preschool, where private chefs come in to prepare the morning snack, and the other kids sport names like Carter, Darwin, and Alex, loads of Alexes. These kids go to birthday parties on the Circle Line and sleepovers at Gracie Mansion. They're kept running on a schedule that would exhaust a Navy SEAL. Piano lessons, swim lessons, karate, and mommy and me classes, where at least half the mommy group is composed of nannies. The ostensible aim is juvenile enrichment. The underlying goal is to keep these ricocheting kids out of their own Delftware-filled, museum-like apartments. It's all nasty fun. But as I said, what bumps The Nanny Diaries up a couple of notches is its shrewd take on work and on the subtle dynamics of this particular employer-employee relationship. Before the first week is through, Mrs. X is regularly running late, but overtime rules aren't clarified because, as Nanny says, The thought that I might actually be doing this job for money is too vile. Soon, Nanny is performing extra duties, like lugging Mrs. X's discarded outfits back to Bergdorf's. Even at the sad climax of this novel, when Nanny is fired, she doesn't talk back to the odious Mrs. X. Instead, in an inspired twist, she speaks her mind to the teddy bear Nanny Cam. Class intimidation, as it so often does, silences Nanny. Only in fairy tales like Jane Eyre does the non-union underling get to mouth off to the boss and get rewarded with a promotion.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Nanny Diaries.